our first question is a very easy, open question about your role in World Heritage, and I know you've been involved almost since the beginning, so you've had various roles along the way, if you can sort of lay those out for us.
Oh, I was out at the World Conference on National Parks and Protected Areas in 1972, when Russ Train sent a message to the participants that there was an evolution of the national park idea. Instead of just being national, there were properties, natural and cultural, that would be recognized globally as World Heritage. I was not involved in international activities at that time, but for the preliminary meeting here in Paris at UNESCO, and I believe 1977, was participating, came across with the U.S. delegation of Robert Garvey, who was then, I believe, chair of the President's Council on Historic Advisory Council, and Ernest Conley, who was at that time, I believe, Secretary General of ICOMOS. And it was my first introduction to UNESCO, and it was an exciting one. There was a lot of debate, a lot of finalization, the clarification of terminology in the convention itself. And then we were privileged to be the host of the first operative meeting of the World Heritage Committee in 1978 in Washington. There was an interesting structure in the United States at that time between the convention's signing and the first operative meeting of the committee. The U.S. Congress passed the amendments to the Historic Preservation Act that implemented the convention by law in the United States. With that, it derived a bifurcated responsibility between the U.S. Department of State and the U.S. Department of Interior. The Department of Interior delegated the responsibility for the implementation of the convention down to the U.S. National Park Service, and the Department of State, retaining its diplomatic overview, also retained the financial responsibilities of paying the United States dues to the convention. So we were relieved in the National Park Service, where I was employed, of the financial implications of the convention, which was a plus and minus. However, at the time, I was Chief of International Affairs for the National Park Service. So it became my task and part of my purview and responsibility to implement the United States side of the World Heritage Convention under the amendments to the Historic Preservation Act. While it was amendments to the Historic Preservation Act, it obviously, like the convention, provided the responsibility for both natural and cultural properties. My perspective on the convention was from one on the natural area side. I had been a member of the IUCN Commission on, at that time, Parks and Protected Areas for a number of years. I had been on the delegation, a U.S. delegation, for a number of the early World Heritage Committee meetings. And then ultimately, looking at it from the side of the Secretariat, gave me a view and reflection on what has really been done since the inception of the and signing and the coming into force of the World Heritage Convention. An interesting, fascinating evolution. I am without question still convinced at this point in time of the significance of the convention. I think despite its step forward and steps backward, its issues and conflicts within the committee and within the state parties, yeah, it remains in my mind a tribute to the planet that we live on in all respects.
For the record, you were at the Secretariat what years?
In 1996.
Okay. And in terms of your attendance at meetings, you must have attended most of the meetings.
Most, not all. I was asked to play a different kind of role, both during the 1992 Santa Fe World Heritage Committee meeting. I believe it was Jennifer Salisbury that assumed the chair at that point. Jennifer was, again, as often the case, a Deputy Assistant Secretary of Interior, and immediately over the U.S. National Park Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and therefore had as a political appointee, had an overview to guide the actions of the U.S. delegation. During that year, in 1992, or I guess in 1993, Jennifer, as many of the more senior policy political appointees within government, didn't stay for the entire term, and it fell upon me by order of the secretary then to replace Jennifer. And in so doing, I backed into the chairmanship of the World Heritage Committee at that time, as the U.S. had hosted it in 92. In 1996, the circumstances were that I was approaching retirement, and I had a discussion at the World Heritage Committee meeting in Berlin with both the head of the World Heritage Center, and at the time, John Reynolds, the U.S. delegate, who was deputy director of the National Park Service at the time, in so far as could I be of any use within the secretariat. And it was agreed in Berlin that that indeed would be an assistance to the secretariat. It would be in the interests of the United States and of the National Park Service to assist with the secretariat's role with respect to the convention. And my role with the secretariat was as a principal advisor to the head of the center. And it left me with issues of dealing with personnel, job descriptions, acquisition of new staffs and selections, as well as dealing with the advisory bodies of ICOMOS, ICROM, and IUCN. In preliminary budget discussions and negotiations, and particularly the evaluation of assistance requests, which I had observed in the past and felt strongly about while I was chair of the committee, that in fact the assistance requests were not being orderly or systematically vetted on merit. And in a number of cases, it were simply a matter of a habit, of repetitious habit. That did no longer have merit while they may have at first.